Hello and welcome to Columboys, the podcast all about the silver nitrate f-stop point and shoot world of Lieutenant Columbo. I'm Mac, and joining me this week is the tallest man in the world, Ben. Welcome, Ben.
Hi.
Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
This week we're taking a look at Season 4, Episode 2, Negative Reaction. In this episode, a Pulitzer Prize-winning photographer murders his wife and blames it on a kidnapping gone wrong. This episode stars a legendary actor whose work has touched the lives of millions. Of course, I'm talking about the one and only, you know him, you love him, Larry Storch. That's right, Larry Storch, whose portrayal of the loathsome and lazy Corporal Agarn in the extremely racist classic F Troop brought joy and solace to many. Storch would go on to play the lead role in The Ghostbusters. No, not those Ghostbusters. Okay, so you do remember how when Ghostbusters, the Dan Aykroyd, the Bill Murray, that one, came out, there was that cartoon that was the original Ghostbusters, and it was about, like, two guys and a monkey fighting ghosts.
Well, there was,
ghosts.
Like, Ghostbusters, and then there was the real Ghostbusters.
Right, the real Ghostbusters cartoon came out as, like, a answer to that. Well, anyway, he wasn't in that. He was in the 1970s live-action version of that the original Ghostbusters cartoon was based on. Nobody actually watched the original Ghostbusters, but it did serve its purpose, which was confusing grandparents who were told to buy Ghostbuster toys for their grandkids. Not that I'm still bitter about it or anything.
Do you need to talk about it?
It's absolutely fine.
It sounds like you need to talk
you
about
know,
it.
You want Dan Aykroyd or a Bill Murray, you know, Venkman figure, but you end up with a monkey in a fedora. You know, these things just happen. In the lead role as the vicious, unrepentant murderer is none other than beloved, wholesome American icon Dick Van Dyke. Van Dyke's big break came when he landed a role in the original Broadway Broadway production of Bye Bye Birdie, a role he would go on to play in the theatrical version. His star rose even higher when he played the wonderful chimney sweep Bert in Mary Poppins, where he sported the worst accent in the history of cinema. And yes, I'm including John Malkovich in Rounders. Duck Van Dyke was a duck whose unrelated Dick Van Dyke luckily managed to land the lead role in genre-defining sitcom The Dick Van Dyke Show, and he's continued to work in productions great and small right up until today. Dick Van Dyke will never die, so his legacy lives on forever in all our hearts.
I sure hope so, because, man, do I have a crush on that guy.
He's great. Also, there's a long lead time, so please, Dick Van Dyke, stay alive until at least, like, mid-March, so I don't have to put disclaimer in here. Please stick around. Also, I love you, so please, you know, hang out. So that's the introduction. Sorry, everybody, that my voice is so hoarse today. I'm not entirely sure what happened.
It's all right. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
It sounds good, actually.
Okay. Well, I don't apologize.
Yeah, don't do it to yourself on purpose, but it's totally workable and good while it's here.
All right.
Van Dyke, my dude.
Dick Van Dyke. Hell to the yes. This is a fantastic episode for a lot of reasons.
Sorry, I'm stumbling over myself.
No, you're fine.
We're
excited to talk about this one.
Yeah, I'm excited that it was a good episode in addition to having Dick Van Dyke in it. Because, like, we've certainly had episodes where it's like, this person is really great. Also, this episode is kind of a wet fart as far as, you know, But this is real good.
It definitely seems like it could have been a stunt casting thing, especially, you know, considering Dick Van Dyke. This is maybe one of only a handful of villainous roles that he has played in his entire career.
Right.
So, you know, this is really out of character, and it seems like, here we brought in this super wholesome guy to play this pretty awful human being.
Terrible.
Really
terrible
bad,
dude.
Really bad person, even as Columbo murderers go.
I mean, I'm not saying that, like, I was a fan of, you know, the character's wife either.
No,
but, like,
she seems terrible, but not
she's but, terrible but she, like, didn't ask murder
for
him.
She's like, ask for a divorce terrible, not like murder terrible.
Right.
I'm not entirely sure why he couldn't just divorce her. I guess the 1970s maybe is the answer.
I don't know. I get clearly he just thought it was easier
to murder her.
Most likely he didn't want to give up any of his
money.
Wealth.
Right. This is, like, often in these sorts of things where it's a husband killing the wife, and they're well off as they as they always are in Columbo. It's usually because the wife is rich, but it seems like this guy's doing okay.
It honestly seemed like they were both rich.
Yeah, like maybe they were married when they were both younger, and she was more of a socialite kind of thing. And then as they got older, he got more interested in the secretary and decided like it would be simpler to kill her than to divorce her for some reason.
Spoiler alert. Never simpler to just kill someone.
It doesn't
seem opposite of simple.
Yeah. Does not seem to have worked out for
him. It is, in fact, very complicated and fraught with peril.
As we know.
Yeah.
We promise not to talk
about
that. Sorry. I'll edit that out. The basic premise of this, well, I mean, we've already kind of explained that, but let's talk about the murder real quick. This guy, we start like right before the murder. There isn't a lot of like sort of setup.
Yeah, really. There's not much wind up. I mean, it's basically it's just, you know, it's a faked kidnapping.
Kidnapping. He's got a man to buy him a ranch in the man's name.
Right.
Which do you have the name?
Somewhere. Alvin.
Alvin.
I keep forgetting his last name.
Yeah, I've got the IMDb here. I'll look it up quick.
Hey.
But he's gotten this man to purchase this property in his name.
It's like Gasman or something like that. That's not it.
No, it isn't.
I wrote his first name down, not his last name. I'm sorry. I goofed.
It's quite all right because his name is Alvin Dreschler.
Which is what it sounds like if you play it at normal speed.
If you slow the chipmunks down. So, yep.
Sorry,
we all know we're punchy today. We know what we're talking about.
Yeah,
do you? Write us in.
Please don't write us in about that. I know the chipmunks are monsters.
Also, write in to us. I don't know what write us in means. I guess like write us in on the ballot. If there's a local election, feel free to write us in.
No, don't do that. I'm clearly not a responsible enough adult to be on any kind of city council.
I mean, I've seen how politics works now, and you don't have to be a responsible adult, so it's fine. So he's gotten this man to buy a ranch. He takes his wife out to the ranch to show it to her.
Right.
He ties her up in a very confusing sequence. I'm not really sure. Yeah.
In a very badly managed, like...
Yeah, he just kind of, like, grabs her and sort of, like, pushes her down and then, like... they cut away a second and then she's tied up.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that Dick Van Dyke is not into rope play.
Well, he certainly does not seem to be very proficient at it at this point.
Right.
And so she's tied up. He takes a picture of her, puts a clock on the wall to mark the time.
Right. And the clock is wrong, which she says as much. Like, she points it out. And he takes more than one photo of her. And
yes.
Crumples up several before he's happy with the photo.
It's set to later in the day. The clock is set to like 2 o'clock.
I think it's like an hour later.
No, it's much later, I think.
Okay, because he rolls it back before he leaves, and I didn't think he moved it back by more than an hour or so.
I think it's a couple hours. I think it's before noon versus afternoon. Because that's like the thing at the end, right? Is that he was with her in the morning.
Right.
Right.
But no, it definitely, he rolled it back to 1 o'clock because he was trying to insist that the dude didn't have an alibi. And the whole,
I
know, we're just in the weeds on
But it was rolled to 2 o'clock.
Correct.
When the picture was taken to prove that she was
alive
at 2, but it was before noon when he was supposed to be at home with her alone.
Right.
Okay. So, then he goes to, he tells this guy to call him up.
Mm-hmm.
He goes home and acts very, very suspicious to the point where
after he kills his wife, he meets the guy.
Right. That's
basically to slip him some money and talk to him about the, and that's when we kind of get the, oh, you had someone else buy this for you.
Right.
And then you talk to him about.
Yeah. He says that he,
the
like,
junkyard, I think.
Yes.
I think he
tells,
brings up to
he
the
tells
guy.
This guy, like, hey, you have to do this for me because I'm so rich and so well known that if you start throwing my name around, then the prices will double on these crappy properties.
Right.
Which maybe. I don't know. But
I mean,
it can happen.
Sure.
So the guy goes back to his motel, calls Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
What is coming?
Sorry. Paul Galesko. Yeah. If you want the character's name.
Calls him the next morning. Dick Van Dyke is acting purposefully suspicious at home.
Which actually got me.
Yes. I think we were.
It was very good.
We were watching it, and you and another person we were watching it with were like, is he bad? Like, going on? Why
like,
is
he's really bad
why
at
is
this?
He so bad at
and
this?
And you were just like, no.
I was
no.
like, hold on, guys. Yeah, yeah. Let's
and
just
then
wait
immediately it was, oh, okay, he's pretending to cover up the fact that his wife has been kidnapped.
Quote unquote kidnapped, right. Yes. He's purposefully acting suspicious so as to arouse the suspicions of the housekeeper.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it was very good.
Yeah. And then he gets this phone call, he says into it, he like kind of alters his side of the phone call to make it sound like his wife has been kidnapped.
Right. I think halfway through he like hangs up
he
on
hangs
the guy
up and then so start, that, says yeah. like, "Can I see her? Or can I talk to her? Yeah. Please, let me talk to her." And then like, you know, pretends that the person hung up.
Right.
Even though he hung up on them already.
Right. Funnily then, enough, leaves the note that he wrote himself so that the maid can find
it. Says 20,000 in small bills, yep. And he leaves that note there on the bar, and the housekeeper comes over and looks at it, and you know, says, "Oh my gosh."
Yeah.
And so now he's laid the groundwork for this
very elaborate kidnapping setup.
Yes. He goes and gets the money. He goes to the junkyard, and he
meets the guy. Hands him the ransom note,
right.
So that he gets his fingerprints all over it,
mm-hmm.
And then proceeds to shoot him.
Right.
So double murder.
Yes. A planned double murder. This is one of the rare things where
right. It, that's true. It
the
is
secondary
rare.
Murder is part of the right. the murder.
Yeah, as part of the plot and not an oh shit murder.
Yeah.
Shall we say?
So he shoots him and then he gets the guy's gun and puts it by his pant legs so that it's basically just kind of perpendicular to it.
Right.
And then shoots
shoots himself
yeah. in such a way that it grazes him. And he isn't like given lasting damage.
Right, right, right. He basically gives himself a flesh wound.
Yes.
While making sure that the guy's hand was on the gun when it fired, and you know, right. I mean, they don't get into it, but ostensibly, you know, like gunpowder on the fingers and et cetera, they would know if he had actually fired a gun or not.
And then he leaves and calls the cops, and then we have Columbo.
Except. There's one of our favorite character actors
right.
who
this is where
interrupts
we get
him.
Our third or I guess it would be fourth.
I think it's fourth or fifth, you said?
I think it's fourth.
Yeah.
Appearance of Vito Scotti.
Yeah.
Who previously played the French the maitre d'
mm-hmm.
and the tailor shop owner and yep. someone else, I can't remember. But I think someone else in a service.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, just a super bit part in
yeah.
one of the other
and
ones.
And this one he plays a great drunk.
Yep.
Who is sleeping in the
just in the car. Yeah.
Abandoned car lot.
Yep.
Yeah. And just great. Vito Scotti is really great in this. There's a really wonderful extended scene where Columbo tracks him down later
yep. at a mission.
At a yep. soup kitchen. And the nun there played by a future Columbo murderer, Joyce Van Patten.
Ooh.
Yeah, she'll be back.
Exciting.
She's
a very overzealous
yes.
Helper.
Well, Columbo looks, I have to say, especially bad in this one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, he's pretty shabby.
He, like Columbo usually looks pretty bad, but a day, you know, like he's
yeah,
been
yeah,
working
yeah.
a little hard for an extra day.
Well, and we get to see him in, you know, down at the department. And,
right. He's at a local precinct for
right.
this one. It's not, it seems like he's out of his normal.
Yeah. And he's been up like clearly all night working at this desk. And so like his jacket is off, his tie is off. And like, and he clearly has not actually shaved.
Stubble. Yeah. His
yeah.
hair is even if possible, even more.
Even more mangled and disheveled
yes.
than usual. Yeah, it's a very good.
He definitely looks like unsettled.
Yeah,
More than Columbo normally does, which leads into this great scene where this nurse sees Columbo, in his shabbiest state, assumes he is homeless and really wants to help him out.
Like, oh, yeah.
Like, she's going to replace it. She finds a new coat for him.
Right,
she, like,
that gets is warmer.
Him, than... Gets him some beef stew.
Yep.
You know, treats him pretty well.
Yeah. No, honestly. I mean, and it's very sweet. And it's also a really, it's a nice piece of comic relief because it doesn't feel totally out.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, it doesn't feel just completely, like, out of left field so much as some of the other ones have.
And it's kind of, it is playing a lot on, I mean, at this point, especially in this episode, Columbo
looks shabbier than usual.
Worse. Yeah. He's dressed worse than some of the people playing homeless people in this scene.
Absolutely.
You know, he has shabbier stuff. I'd say Vito Scotti, even though he is pretty rough, actually still looks pretty well put together, surprisingly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's got like a crazy stubble beard and he's making ridiculous faces, but you know, the guy can still wear a suit.
Yeah, he still looks okay in his beaten up suit.
And I'd say probably some of the best drunk acting from Vito Scotti that I've seen in general. He legitimately, I think, looks like a drunk person trying to look sober.
Oh yeah,
which I think is a really great thing. I've actually heard that as like an acting tip before. Is if you wanna pretend to be drunk, what you should do is pretend to be sober.
Yeah,
and that's actually a better way to do it. And that's definitely what he's doing. Like he's making very much like engaged faces. Like, I am listening to you.
Yeah.
But like,
but it's clear
manic way where it's like, there's nothing, none of these words
are connecting. I'm concentrating very hard, but it's really not coming through. I think the secret is if you are acting drunk, that works if you are a teenager and you've never been drunk before.
right.
But if you want to actually seem like someone, then there's nobody who is inebriated who is trying to look more inebriated than they are.
Right. Right.
Unless you're a teenager.
Yeah, or like a college, you know, student trying to be like, woo, alcohol.
But everybody else is always trying to like focus and slow down how they're talking.
Maintain.
So you don't slur your words.
Yes, and exactly.
It's actually, that's very good advice.
Yeah. But just like a great little moment, he comes in and asks him, there's an inconsistency with the shots,
the timing
of the shots, that there was one shot and then a pause and then another shot. But the guy basically says, I was drunk. I don't remember.
I was drunk. I'm sure I told you that, but I really can't recall it. And there's no way I can tell you what happened.
I don't remember talking to you. I don't remember that night. I don't remember any of it.
I mean, all things being said, it's not strictly a red herring.
No.
It's a dead end for Columbo.
But it's an important part because this is actually, I think, good police work
this
one, because it is him basically chipping away at inconsistencies until the very end, which is a Columbo style reveal with like a prestige and it's like a magic trick.
It's beautiful.
It's great.
I love it.
But the rest of this is solid police work.
Yeah.
Like, well, just, this doesn't make sense. Why did this happen? I need to track down this so I can have an answer to it. And just
this
him,
doesn't quite add up. And then just verifying where, you know, okay, I have a sworn affidavit that this is where the guy was at this point. And
ultimately, none of that matters in the end, because the way he catches him doesn't really have anything to do with any of that.
Yeah, he mostly uses it as kind of an excuse slash, I mean, I guess you could call it a frame up.
Yeah.
But it is one of those things of it's just a moment where he uses Dick Van Dyke's knowledge of photography against him. And it's actually really lovely. I mean, it's the best kind of catch where he takes someone's arrogance and confidence and uses it against them.
Yeah. This is sort of like last week's in that there's the long scene in the photography shop where Columbo doesn't learn a ton of interest. He learns about the cabs.
Right.
But then there's a little throwaway part where he sees the reversed negative.
Yes.
And that is just to implant that concept in Columbo's mind, but also the audience's mind. And that's how he catches them, but that's not information that he learned about the events, that's a separate, and that's right. like very much like the answering machine, which didn't necessarily have anything to do with the case, but being aware of that recorded voice versus live voice
right.
is what made the difference.
Yeah, it gives him the idea of, oh, this is probably something that...
Right, but it doesn't unravel the mystery.
No.
And that's fine because we know it like, unlike normal, a normal right. Detective thing, we know who did it. So it doesn't actually ultimately need to unravel completely.
Right.
Because we already kind of understand the crime.
And, yeah, we've already seen it.
And the inconsistencies, we know. But it is a little disappointing to get to the end and not have it flow from the rest of the episode, you know, have it kind of come a little deus ex machina, but also, you know, flow from
yeah.
him. He's wearing this guy down the entire right. time.
Yeah. And I think that goes hand in hand with him kind of chasing down leads and doing more kind of traditional detective work.
Yeah.
For most of the show is it's like, cause it's mostly that. And then it is, you can see him rattling Dick Van Dyke when he's like, well, this is an inconsistency.
Right.
And Dick Van Dyke will just shoot off some excuse that covers for it. But also, yeah. you know, I mean, from over here anyway,
yeah.
granted, I did see him pull a gun on his wife, so I'm probably biased.
But I'd say that they're very good excuses.
They're reasonable.
He's good at giving a plausible
yeah.
explanation.
Yeah, they're generally reasonable. It's just the irritated tone is always the thing where I'm like, why would you take that tone with a cop?
Let's be honest here. If Columbo was asking you questions, and just kept showing up at your house, even if you hadn't done a murder, you'd eventually be very tired of him.
No, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
I got to give you that one. You're absolutely right. Like, I would be irritated as shit.
As fun as it is for us to watch him and sort of experience him inflicting his sort of particular brand right. on murders, it would be very irritating if there was this dirty, cigar-smelling man who, at one point, he is looking around Dick Van Dyke's house for an ashtray, and he can't find one, so he just
ashes into his own pocket.
In full view of Dick Van Dyke, who is not happy about it.
No, not impressed. I mean, if I were Dick Van Dyke, I would at least be thrilled that he ashed into his clothes and not onto my floor.
Instead of the you know, priceless... heirloom trays that he was looking
right
at.
Where he's playing Let's Find the Ashtray. I mean it's a good scene, don't get me wrong, it's a good bit.
It was fine humoring you for a while, please leave.
No, I would just be like, okay, I did the murder. Like if he was dogging me,
Ben, if anyone can understand being quickly irritated in social situations, I would think it would be you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely me. Yeah.
So, you know, I get that, and I don't think that makes him too suspicious. I think that just makes him a human being dealing with one of the most frustrating people on the planet.
Right.
Cops don't working with Columbo. What are you doing?
Yeah. What are you doing?
Why do you keep talking?
Case is open and closed.
Who cares,
we could be
Columbo.
Done with this.
Yes, exactly.
But no, you got to find the right guy. That's why we like him.
That's the whole thing, is that he's dogged and determined and a weirdo. And it's enjoyable to watch a weirdo, but it is not fun to have a weirdo wander around your house.
Right. Show up at your house constantly and be like, hey, what's up? I just wanted to talk to you for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then when they're leaving, they're like, wait, no, I need to talk to you for another couple minutes before I go.
Especially, you know, if you think about if you were an innocent person and your wife had just been murdered and this person kept showing up and asking you questions, you'd be like, I don't want to fucking talk about this anymore. Please go away.
I mean, alternately, you could just break down crying, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think that Dick Van Dyke, his character seems...
Oh, no.
He's not that guy. So I think that would be...
He's not good enough to pull that move.
No, well, I think then Van Dyke could pull that move.
Yes,
but
I mean the character.
This guy's very reserved, and I think it is in keeping with his character that he isn't super overly emotional.
No, he's very self-confident as far as the murderers we have seen go.
Yeah, and I don't think he overplays his love for his wife the way that some murderers have.
Oh yeah, no,
like,
no, no.
He really just kind of is like, I'm sad about it, but yeah. He's not like, you know, rending his flesh the way that the right. police chief was in the one we just watched. Yeah.
Oh God, yeah. Yeah. Right, where he's really laying it on thick.
Yeah, exactly. But he's just like, yeah, she's dead. I'm sad about it, but I'm not super sad about it.
Yeah.
It isn't like a thing. It doesn't become a thing in
right.
the episode. Yeah, I guess we should talk about the catch, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we want to. Yeah, yeah. I mean, basically, Columbo is like...
I love how we introduce all of our segments with, well, I guess we should talk about it. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's what this is, right?
Right.
It's just... I know. We're just talking about it.
The weird nonchalance is fun.
Yeah, yeah. One day we'll make stingers and you'll hate them.
Yeah. It'll be so much fun. So Columbo brings him in, and I guess this is kind of where all of the detective work pays off, because mm-hmm. he can close all these, or he can point out all these inconsistencies all at once,
right.
in a way that you know is confusing.
Right, because he makes a flipped negative, like he uses a negative basically.
First, we find him. He's cutting out a ransom note,
right?
Because Dick Van Dyke cut out a ransom note in his dark room,
yep.
and then took the newspaper and put it in the guy's room, but just right. the newspaper, not
the
any
newspaper,
of the scraps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To make it again to frame up the guy that he
right.
murdered.
But then, you know, Columbo says, "Well, yeah, the newspaper was there, but where were all the scraps? The
right.
little bit when you cut out little pieces of newspaper, you're going to have like little triangles and
right.
little weird, you know."
And there's no way that there were no scraps, but the newspaper
was still there.
there,
right.
And she had cleaned, so this doesn't add up. And yep. then also
he couldn't have done it because when the picture was being taken, he was in getting his driver's license, which is the thing, because this guy's fresh out of prison,
right?
And he didn't have a driver's license, so he took a driver's test the morning of the murder.
Right.
Which Columbo seizes on, because, like, why would you leave such a crucial part of your plan up until
right.
the day of?
Right. It
which
doesn't
is a
make
very
sense.
Good question.
Yeah, it's an excellent question,
yes.
to which his captain is just like, all right, so he took the test that day, but whatever.
It seems
and it's like no,
it,
dude, don't you get it?
It
Have
seems
you ever
like
been
it,
to the DMV?
It seems like, the police chief is just basically like, well, it seems like it worked out because he did get a driver's license.
Listen, this case is closed. I'm glad you're happy now.
Yeah.
Shut up about
this
it.
This is the closest I think we've come to, outside of the murderer themselves, having a chief go like, Columbo,
yeah.
let it rest.
Yeah, pretty
I'm
much.
I'm taking you off the case.
Yeah. Which honestly, I'm grateful that we don't get
that.
Yeah.
It's sort of, I think it's kind of a blessing of the show that we don't really learn that much about who exactly the chain of command. Like,
yeah.
We never really see Columbo's boss.
Right.
Other than like a couple times there'll be a guy and he's like the chief of detectives, which would be Columbo's boss, but it's never the same guy.
Right.
And
right,
he
right.
doesn't really have like a character. You
yeah.
know, in the
yeah,
thing,
yeah.
he's
it's
usually
just some throwaway dude,
a guy standing near the crime scene or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think that definitely helps the show, because like,
like
a Law and Order or something, that's a show about cops.
Process. Yeah.
And, well, yeah, but it's also about the cops and like SVU right. now has become so Byzantine, and it's all about like their personal lives and like adoptions and like,
how
you know,
long
their
has that
families.
Show been going on?
And, like 20 years, I think, or something.
So like longer than Columbo?
No.
Okay.
I mean, no. Columbo went from the 68 to 2003.
Oh.
I mean, there are gaps.
Right,
there are
right,
large
right.
gaps.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
the last Columbo special was released in 2003.
Woo.
Yeah. So very, a much longer
okay.
Thing. Not a show.
Right.
In
not
the
a
same,
constant
in the
running,
same way.
Like weekly.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And it was pretty different by the time it ended, and the amount of
yeah. Every time you say that, I get scared.
You shouldn't be. Well, we don't have to have this conversation again.
No, I know. We always have this.
But Columbo says you had it had to have been before, because we found the photo, we blew it up,
and
look
here
at,
it is.
Look at here it is. Look at the clock. The clock says 10.
10.
The small hand is on the 10 o'clock position,
mm-hmm.
and the big hand is in on the 12.
Yep.
So it is exactly, according to this clock, 10 o'clock. And Dick Van Dyke laughs and says, oh, Columbo, you're kind of an idiot.
Yeah, it's like this picture has been flipped. Yeah.
Yes, because when you print a negative, it's pretty easy. If you've ever done photography, it's pretty easy to accidentally turn it over
right. And
print it in the opposite way.
And he's like, where's the original? And Columbo's like, I accidentally dropped it in the acid. It was ruined. But I was here for this entire process. I swear this is the right photo.
Right. And Dick Van Dyke says, well, it's simple. Just take the negative. And then he goes over to a shelf that is full of cameras.
Mm-hmm.
He pulls the exact camera that it was.
Yep.
He pushes other cameras out of the way
to grab it.
Grabs the specific camera, opens it up.
And says, there's a negative.
There's a negative.
And
right
Columbo
there.
Goes, are you a witness to what he just did?
Yeah.
And then, are you a witness? Yeah. And it's just like, and you know, at that point, it's, oh, he went right for the camera and he shouldn't have known what the camera looked like.
Right.
If he wasn't doing the murder.
I think there's an argument that could be made that he would know what type of a camera as a professional photographer.
Sure.
I think that you could, but it's a very good thing. He wouldn't necessarily know that there was a negative inside the camera
right. Unless
he had taken the picture.
Yeah.
But he might at least be able to identify, because it is a instant develop.
Right.
It is like a Polaroid. It's not a Polaroid, but it's
the same kind of like, it's a quick develop kind of thing. I mean, and that's part of kind of the majesty of the catch is Columbo clearly puts him in a frame of mind where he thinks, oh, they're literally going to frame me.
Right.
If I don't prove this thing
and
that he's
already knocked down all these other inconsistencies.
Right.
You know, he's putting him in an agitated state, and he couldn't do that unless he had done the legwork to get all this other information. So in that way, it does aid, but it doesn't directly lead to it. Just basically not kicks the shit out of his alibi, and then they come in with the final trick.
Yeah,
and get him.
And bing, that's it.
It's
a good catch.
It's a real good catch.
It's a really good episode.
I think Dick Van Dyke is fantastic.
He's very good at
it. I think he's always good.
It's a great beard too, by the way.
Yeah, he's got a really great beard. He's got like, it's like white all around, but then it's got like a spot of
a little bit of color
of black in the front.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
It's a nice touch.
He's this is kind of a little older Dick Van Dyke. Speaking of beard, your beard scritching is going on.
Oh God.
It's fine.
Sorry.
No, it happens.
Whoops.
I really loved him in this, you know.
Yeah,
I was
really
a huge
fantastic.
Fan of the Dick Van Dyke Show, and also, I mean, who doesn't love Mary Poppins?
Right. I mean, plenty of us don't love his accent, but he's still charming despite it. It's a pretty atrocious attempt at a British accent.
I think in multiple interviews, like basically said, like, I got a dialect coach, and the dialect coach taught me that accent, and no one on set said anything. And so that's what happened.
Bless.
It is a testament to the star power of Dick Van Dyke that everybody was just like
too afraid to tell him that's not a good accent.
It seems
Dick.
Like a bad accent, but he is Dick Van Dyke, so he probably knows what he's doing. Okay. I mean, Julie Andrews is British.
Yeah.
And she was there.
Right. And seems she like didn't bother.
She was like, that's fine. Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, that again, Dick Van Dyke. I would have been starstruck for sure.
He's great. He's great in that. He's great in this. I'm sure you have something to say about his fantastic suits.
I do, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, specifically, I mentioned this when we were watching it, but I have to reiterate, I am almost dead certain these are Dick Van Dyke's suits.
I believe
and
it.
And this is actually his wardrobe and not like from the
wardrobe
yeah wardrobe like actual his clothing from his closet, because several of the suits, there are moments where you can see the lining peak. He never really wears them unbuttoned, and the linings are like very loud, like they're very playful, very colorful, and just in a way that is like, to see that on one is like, I can let that pass, but to see it on more than one is like, okay, that's not an accident, and that doesn't really kind of tie into the way that they are sort of dressing this guy.
Yeah, for sure.
But like, all of his suits have a pretty good shoulder to them. They're all one-button suits, which is not a thing I really see a lot of.
On Columbo?
Yeah, certainly in the 70s like this. And the lapels aren't quite the gigantic 70s, even though they're large.
Mm-hmm.
But basically everything in the suit, like, the proportions are very good, and they're extremely flattering on him. He's, what did you say, 6'1"?
6'1", yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a tall man, and they look very good on him. Like, yeah, the first suit he wears
very is svelte.
It's like a brown one. They all have, like, hacking pockets, you know, slanted flapped pockets. But they're very subdued compared to so many of the other 70s suits that we have seen and things like that.
He always looks put together, you know. There's a point where
there's, like,
he's
a chalk
wearing,
stripe one, and then
later he's wearing the highest waisted jeans I've ever seen
life.
But they look great on him.
Yep. Of course they do. Yeah,
and this,
it's
and
the high-waisted jeans, and then he's wearing like a polo shirt that is unbuttoned completely.
Yeah.
And then, like, a suede shirt jacket on top of it.
Right.
And then at one point we see him I wrote it down, it's a denim jacket, but it's like a longer jacket, not like the trucker style we're used to seeing. By the way, this is a Levi's orange tab like denim jacket.
Oh yeah,
from the 70s.
You saw it, or you just recognized the cut?
I noticed the tab, but the tab's not red. And so if you Google Levi's 70s denim jacket long, you will find these. You will still find them on eBay if you want this jacket. And I'm not saying everybody does.
Uh-huh.
It's a unique look.
You've looked into this, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
For personal.
I already found it.
Are you getting one?
No, not until I blank out on what I'm going to do for Halloween. And then I want to dress like Dick Van Dyke from a very specific episode of Columbo.
Right, from a specific scene.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that seems like a niche costume.
In the gallery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good.
But anyway, everything he wears is incredible.
Yeah.
I don't know what else there is to say about that other than he's gorgeous in it.
He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
What do you think about everybody else in the episode? Columbo obviously looking very disheveled.
I mean, Columbo's... Okay, when he's in the precinct...
Yes.
And he goes to put his tie back on, and he is tying it. He has it under... Like, he has it on the shirt on one side and then just straight on his neck on the other side.
Well,
and
yeah. And then also he is just, like, twirling one thing around the other one without actually, like, doing
making a
anything.
Mess, which kind of makes me wonder if Peter Falk actually knew how to tie a tie at that point.
He's just sort of, like, going, like,
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's
a mess.
And then he finally ties it, and, like, the big end is much... The back is, like, down below his waist, and the top is,
yeah, the skinny
is, like,
blade is really
above his
long,
nipples.
And the other one is so short it may as well be a kipper tie.
Are they called blades?
Yeah.
The parts of a tie are called blades. Well, now I've learned something. it only took, 27 episodes, 29 episodes?
I mean, I was trying not to overwhelm you.
Something was bound to slip in eventually.
Yeah.
So I would highly recommend this episode.
It's so good.
I think this is up there with some of the best.
It's
just
very fun.
For performances, for everything. Larry Storch, who normally I find incredibly grating, is actually pretty great as the driving instructor.
Oh yeah, we didn't even. He's really wonderful. Like he's so uptight and like in the best way.
Yes,
like,
he's
so clearly irritated by anything that isn't like proper. And watching him struggle with Columbo driving.
Columbo is trying to drive him back to the DMV and just doing a terrible job of it. And
so much so that he makes him stop like 10 blocks away.
Yeah.
And it's like, I will walk the rest of the way. Thank you.
Yeah. You should do more walking too, Lieutenant, is what he says to him. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good scene, and it's like a fun little thing. And also it does actually advance
the
plot a little bit, because we learned that, yes, he did actually take his...
Doing that actual, detective work.
Take his test that morning.
Yep.
Yep.
Gets a sworn affidavit out of it.
He does. I really like kind of everybody in this. I think all of the side bits are fun and engaging in a way that a lot of side bits aren't always.
We have definitely had side bits that feel totally out of place. And the humor in this one has felt like it was at least well-placed.
Yeah.
And like the nun thing didn't feel like it went on too long or anything like that to me, even though it is a long bit.
Yeah.
it doesn't feel like exhaustively like...
It doesn't feel like it's wasting your time.
Right. Like just, the receptionist at the computer.
Yeah. And there nothing really is imparted in that nun scene, but it's enjoyable enough of a scene on its own that it doesn't really matter. I think the difference between that and the receptionist scene is the receptionist is just refusing to engage. So there's no... Right. Nothing interesting is happening. It's just a guy and a woman being rude to him unnecessarily.
Right. It's just her being rude and us watching Peter Falk basically stall for time.
Yeah. Kind of run out the clock.
Yeah.
While something prints, which is not the most exciting thing in the world to watch.
No.
Not a good
plan.
For sure. I think that'll do it. Unless you had something else you wanted to talk about.
I really don't. I mean, I'd just talk about the Dick Van Dyke suits, honestly, if I was going to talk about anything.
Yeah.
And I already did, so.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So that's going to do it. This is Columboys.
It is Columboys.
This is Columboys, our podcast. I'm... Hey, thanks for listening. This has been Columboys. How do I end the show? This has been Columboys. I'm Mac.
I'm Ben.
And just one more thing.
Yeah.
Because I was afraid to speak when I was just a lad, my father gave me nose a tweak and told me I was bad. And then one day I learned a word that saved me aching nose, the biggest word you ever heard, and this is how it goes. Oh, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite
Yeah, I don't know the rest of the words.
All right, that's fine.
I just knew that part.
Columboys is hosted by Mac Johnson and Ben Swallow. You can follow them on Twitter at MacJ and at DandyGeek. The Columboys theme is by Seth Boyer. For more information about this and other great Waffle Media projects, you can go to waffle.media. Thanks for listening.